Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Woodbury High School. We have to have a little conversation. I kind of like what's going on here at their junior and senior high schools. It's almost like they were listening to a big take on, you know, getting rid of phones with the Utes because they're poisonous and they create mental health issues. We'll kick that around, as well as this story, which I find interesting, with Ken Klippenstein and X, as well as the publishing of the 271-page dossier of J.D. Vance. We'll get to that coming up. Maybe call out Elon Musk a little bit.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, but before that, let's get to the news. Round number two at 7:05. The great Dawn Stenslin.
Good morning. Kale and Company News Live this Friday morning, September 27th. We are sponsored by Indeed this morning, 72 degrees with dense fog advisories for our entire region. So we'll tell you when the fog is expected to burn off this morning. In the news, Philadelphia police asking for the public's help as they search for the driver and the Mercedes that struck and killed a young girl in Philadelphia. Police say they're searching for that driver. Happened about, around the 6500 block of Haverford Avenue. This is West Philadelphia, about 9:30 last night. And we have Philadelphia police confirming that the 14-year-old girl, they're not releasing her name just yet, walking back from the store, quick trip to the local convenience store with her mother. They're walking properly in a crosswalk when she was struck by this vehicle, this driver traveling at a high rate of speed. And what they're saying is that as they were crossing Haverford Avenue there at 66th Street, this vehicle struck her so hard that her body was flung, just across the street, to the point that initially mom didn't know what happened and obviously in shock, searching for her daughter, and then runs over, finds her daughter's limp body. Medics called to the scene, a horrific scene as police describe it, and they tried to revive this 14-year-old girl who, in front of her mother, you know, was pronounced dead.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine.
No, I can't either.
Oh my goodness.
And I've had these situations with my daughters, and I'm not saying this was the situation with this lady and this 14-year-old, but my girls, you know, everywhere they go, for the most part, you know, they'll bring their cell phone with them. So when we get to, you know, like a grocery store or whatever on a Saturday, and we get out, and they want to bring their phones with them, I'm like, no, you got to put your phone down. But they never pay attention when they get out of the car, even in parking lots. They don't have their head up. They're not looking where they're walking. They have no idea about traffic, and I'm trying to reiterate. It's amazing. My girls are so aware on a dance stage, so athletically gifted, yet in everyday life, they have their head in the clouds and they're clumsy as hell. And I'm like trying to, like, girls, watch. There's cars coming this way. There's cars coming that way. Like, it's crazy that I have to do that with 10-year-old daughters. Maybe that's how all 10-year-olds are. I thought I was much more in tune with things like that. When I was 10, I was looking left, looking right, looking left. I had it all figured out. But my girls apparently don't. Some of these kids have just got to pay. And again, not to, you know, make it about this kid. This kid could have been doing everything right. And this person obviously is driving recklessly. And then even if you are driving recklessly, why mitigate or why aggravate the circumstances by taking off, right? Like, you already just killed somebody. Now you're going to make it worse by fleeing.
Yeah, the vehicle, I don't have a plate yet, although we're told that they're confident because they're searching through all the video surveillance in the area. And so they're confident they're going to get the plate for us, and we'll release that immediately. But it's They're saying it's a dark gray, kind of a charcoal-colored Mercedes sedan. It's going to have heavy damage to it, especially the front end.
Have they reached the point where they determined how fast the driver was going? And obviously, I'm assuming it's above the speed limit.
Yeah, they said that this car was traveling at a high rate of speed, so it sounds like double the speed limit. So that's just it. To your point, a lot of times, you know, you will watch, especially you're in the city, so you'll watch for a car coming in fast. I think this car, you know, according to all accounts, came out of nowhere and was just going so fast, comes out of nowhere, and boom.
I mean, I'm trying to think of what would be the speed limit in an area like that, to 25, 35? So I'm just trying to double that number. So you're talking 50, 70, maybe 90 miles an hour. No wonder why you can't find your kid, because, I mean, you came through there like a bat out of hell.
Oh, my God.
It's awful.
It's a horrible story.
No, it really is.
So Philadelphia police searching for that individual who they say should just turn themselves in, facing, you know, serious charges, but obviously going better for them if they just turn themselves in. Let's talk about this follow-up, Kalen Company News follow-up, because we have three men now charged with stealing thousands of dollars worth of beef from a parked tractor trailer on a city street. Three men, police say, in Philadelphia, they were caught stealing 1,600 pounds of beef worth thousands of dollars from a locked tractor trailer, and this was parked in the on Edmund Street. And this this announcement from the state attorney general. So the arrests were part of the agency's collaborative. Remember, we talked about this, Operation Beef Bandit.
I swear, every time you have a news story or an update, it's either when Sean's filling in or he's scheduled to join us as a guest.
We are again. These guys wearing the dark clothes, the masks, and they were breaking into a locked tractor trailer carrying these 25 cases of beef valued at $7,000. So they seem to know when these high-end deliveries that we've talked about,
yes,
if it's beef, if it's some kind of fish or tuna. So I know word if it's blue tuna that they, you know, the other teams had stolen. But in this one, they collaborated across the river with those in New Jersey. They say that this is an organized crime situation.
Yes.
So they are confident that they're going to make other arrests based on this one.
Do they believe every single one that you've reported on is linked by the same group?
They're calling it all organized crime.
Okay.
So I'm inferring that,
yeah,
but they haven't spelled that out exactly.
You know, I mean, ribeye these days costs you $26. You got to do what you got to do, right?
The cost of beef.
Cost of beef.
The Pennsylvania Supreme Court, I'll headline this for you, told you at 6 o'clock, handing Philadelphia District Attorney Larry Krasner this victory in his efforts to block the efforts that he had stalled for 2 years, that where the lawmakers in Harrisburg had voted to impeach him. However, the higher court overturning the lower court, this is also a follow-up story, because lawmakers trying to remove him after impeaching him 2 years ago. But as we said earlier, they have run out of time because you can't cross over into a new legislative session in a situation like this, according to the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So as Nick said, what did you call it? He ran out the clock.
Yeah, the clock expired.
That was a great.
Yep.
So that's so Krasner running out the clock. And so in this situation, I was looking for some kind of reaction from lawmakers in Harrisburg here in Pennsylvania. I don't have a reaction from them, but we'll move forward with Eric Adams, New York City Mayor Eric Adams, accused of accepting these illegal campaign donations among other federal fraud and bribery charges. This is a sweeping indictment unsealed yesterday. Investigators alleging Adams sought and accepted improper valuable benefits as luxury international travel, such as upgrades to first class. So let's say he already had the flight, but then they would bump it up to first class.
Mm-hmm.
And this includes wealthy foreign business people and at least one Turkish government official, according to the feds. Mayor Adams pushing back, holding a live news conference yesterday morning, saying the Justice Department's case against him, quote, is false based on lies, suggesting it is political retaliation in his criticism of the Biden-Harris administration's botched handling of a crisis at the southern border.
Timing is awfully suspect, is it not?
I find the comment from Governor Kathy Hochul interesting because her office released a statement saying that it was, quote, premature to comment until the matter is confirmed by law enforcement.
Mm. She's waiting to receive her marching orders.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Because obviously the feds then did hold a news conference.
Mm-hmm.
They unsealed the documents. So what does that mean? We already had AOC calling for Mayor Adams to resign. So she's the highest profile Democrat, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the highest profile one, I think, to call for his resignation.
Okay.
So, and speaking of the issue of immigration, it's under the brightest spotlight yet, 38 days before Election Day, because Vice President Kamala Harris is set to visit Douglas, Arizona, marking her first trip to the U.S.-Mexico border, technically, since becoming the Democrats' presidential nominee.
Yeah.
So we're getting the from CBS News is reporting on Harris's strategy to confront this head on. It's one of her biggest vulnerabilities. And CBS reporting, basing this on anonymous sources close to Harris, that she'll deliver remarks to call for tougher border security measures as part of efforts to address the border issues. And so CBS also reporting that Harris plans to say American sovereignty requires setting rules at the border and enforcing them.
I'll translate that for you, Dawn. We've imported 20 million new voters in the next couple of years. We've hit our quota, objective accomplished. Now we can seal that bad boy up. She has as much desire to fix the southern border as I do to root for the re-implementation of prohibition. All right. Yeah, let's just call a spade here.
Well, Nick, she's brand new. She is the vice president, but she's calling to combat the flow of fentanyl.
Yeah. Okay. Tell that to the families of, I don't know how many, I'd love to track down the statistic of how many fentanyl deaths we have in this country since the beginning of the pandemic.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
So Trump, obviously, I know we'll get to this in the cut sheet, but delivering quite a lengthy, a statement from New York declaring that anything she says today, is a fraud, ... And so Trump certainly releasing statements about that one. Let's talk about Hurricane Helene weakened to a tropical storm over Georgia. Max sustained winds of 70 miles an hour, wreaking havoc, obviously, for folks in Florida and through the South, Georgia, the Carolinas, and beyond. And Helene continues to weaken after making landfall in Florida, now inland, obviously, over Georgia. And so many first responders, as I've said, left Wednesday night, left yesterday morning, and more leaving this morning. First responders, as well as those canine crews, and many with supplies heading into the storm and that zone of the hurricane and the disaster to help out in search and rescues. We have a reported 3 deaths, including one in Florida, one person on the roadways. And I don't know if it's one of the bridges that Greg Stocker and Phil Almquist had been playing on YouTube, but one individual who was driving on a highway, they were struck by one of those huge overhead highway signs that was blown loose by these high winds and struck their vehicle, killing the driver.
Oh, my goodness. Why is that
so
awful?
A horrific situation, and that's why, they were trying to evacuate for days, but forecasters warning the enormous system here could create such a nightmare storm surge, bring dangerous winds, still rain across much of the southeastern United States. So we still have warnings, tropical storm warnings remaining in effect early this morning for those impacted. And so we continue to certainly pray for those folks as they try to deal with the storm and the aftermath of it. As far as air travel impacting Hurricane Helene, obviously hundreds of flights across the country already were canceled due to the impending storm. What about Eagles fans with tickets to fly to Tampa for Sunday's big game? Yeah, against the Buccaneers at Raymond James Stadium. They're still hoping to make it to the game despite flying into the hurricane zone. So a lot of disappointed fans because Tampa International Airport, they suspended all commercial and cargo operations. 2 o'clock in the morning, that was yesterday morning.
Yep.
And remaining closed to the public. And as well, Tallahassee, St. Pete, Clearwater International, they were shut down. And so then you had the Eagles fans, still trying to get tickets out of maybe go to Orlando or Panama City Beach, those kind of those other airports in the region trying to figure out, okay, how can I get a flight and mm-hmm. then rent a car and then make it, by Sunday.
Right. My sources have told me that Merrill Reese will not be able to get out of Bluebell to make it to Tampa because of the weather. So they're actually going to resort to bringing up Tony Bruno off the bench for the play-by-play. We actually have audio of Bruno when he used to call football. I think this was during the McNabb era, and here's one of the highlights.
He couldn't hit a bull's ass with a bass fiddle.
Yeah, that would be amazing, wouldn't it? It's like
imagine Bruno on the call.
I love it.
I think I see Ron DeSantis down there, Mike. Is that DeSantis?
So, by the way, our Phils, I know that, you know, this is the, we're still in the regular season, by the way, Phils National, 6:45 p.m. this evening in D.C. Probably some nasty, drizzly weather, but the last is as we kind of dwindle down and get excited for the playoffs.
I'm ready for a nice little cool fall autumn. Get the rain out of the way. Give me like high 50s, low 60s. I want the fall foliage. I want the leaves all over different colors. I'm ready for the pumpkin patch, the hay rides. I'm ready for the whole
shebang.
Yeah, the pumpkin patch. We go to the one on Valley Forge Road. Nice little spot. They got a little dairy farm next to it.
Yes.
Good spot.
It's a lot of fun. Those, the hay mazes.
Yep.
So as far as the forecast goes, to your very point, 73 degrees right now. We are heating up to a muggy 77 degrees. Allegedly, the sun will peak out at some point later this evening and as well tomorrow. As I say, we are going to get the biggest remnants of what's now Tropical Storm Helene about 2-3 o'clock tomorrow morning. And so kind of a nasty, wet, soggy morning beginning our Saturday. But allegedly, it's going to turn 77 and the sun will come out into a partly cloudy day for your Saturday afternoon, late afternoon. And then Sunday, I think you're going to get your wish, Nick Kale. Sunday, crisp, cool, 70 degrees, partly sunny skies. So Sunday, the better day.
I needed to dip down into the low 60s because that's chili in the crock pot type weather.
Ooh.
You get that little pot of chili going. You go back there four times throughout the day to refill.
Guys, we have so much time where it's going to be months and months and months where it's going to be cold and we can't. Like, why are we doing this?
No,
like,
I
60s
know.
And like no. We're going to have months where we're inside because it's 10 degrees outside.
No, you're right. You know I love the hot and I hate the cold, but I just want that fall weather. That sick,
that fall.
Cool, cool.
I hate fall.
You wake up and you drink that cup of coffee outside and it's just a little chilly. But you know, like 3 hours later, it's going to be nice.
Give me summer. I hate fall.
I do. Well, I hate the winter. I love the fall.
So I'm looking at, because you mentioned the farm you're referencing is Marymead Farm.
Yes!
So you can, yeah,
love that spot.
Love Marymead. Family-owned, one of the final, like, family-owned farms. So they do have pumpkin patches, and they're getting ready to have all of their festivities as far as, you know, the hay maze and all of that. Marymead Farms.
Yep.
Homemade ice cream, the best. So take your daughters there, get the pumpkins. Sunday's the better day for that.
Okay.
We're sponsored by Indeed. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Their end-to-end solution really helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all year round. Schedule and conduct virtual interviews right from your Indeed dashboard. Learn more by visiting Indeed.com/credit. Thank you, Indeed, for sponsoring Killing Company News this hour.
All right, Dawn, thank you very much. 7:22 as we continue. Coming up next, we saw Glenn Youngkin do it in Virginia as a Republican. We've seen Gavin Newsom do it as a Democrat in California. And now it hits home locally here in South Jersey. The details on what it is coming up next.
So it looks like the Eagles are a 1.5-point favorite against the Tampa Bay Bucks on Sunday. If you guys remember, this is the game in the stadium where the Eagles' downfall started last season. So I'm sure they're raring to go for this. I'm going to take the Eagles -1.5. We will all give our Eagles-Tampa picks at the end of the show today, right before 10 o'clock. The NFL is flying by, but you still have time to start the season with a big return on FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. It's America's number one sportsbook. You'll get started with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. How about this for a same-game parlay for the Eagles-Bucks Sunday? Saquon Barkley for an anytime touchdown. Saquon Barkley on the over for rushing yards and Jalen Hurts on the over for passing yards. Go to FanDuel.com/Greg to make every moment more this season. I know I always give the same, but that's the duo this season. Dallas Goedert in there too. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 1210 WPHD. Remember, FanDuel.com/Greg. Sign up right now. 21 and over, present in Pennsylvania. First online real money wager only $5. First deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
This- This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Diner or the theater is the way to go for the auditorium and the possibility of a Kale and Company second anniversary show slash second debate.
So interestingly, if you go to YouTube, Nick Kale, if you go to YouTube with the poll right now, it's running neck and neck 50-50 with people who can attend and people who cannot attend.
Okay, well, that's honesty. Right.
Well, yes. Yeah, yeah. I told everybody be honest because of your work schedule, kids, whatever,
right.
Life.
Right.
You know what I mean? Can you? I know a morning broadcast is not easy to attend.
Well, no.
You know what I mean?
Including for some of us. Yeah, we start at 6 a.m.
Well, that's just it. If you're heading to work, if people were there early enough, people could stop by.
Yeah.
Get, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. First,
and then go on.
First 100 into the building get a free... a cup of coffee.
Well, let's be honest. The reason I'm doing this is because it costs money to put these things on. So, like, right. I want to do it, but, you know, I also want people to be there. And if they can't be there, then we'll just do it here in the studio. I have no problem with that. I just thought it would be a cool little feature to take it out on the road.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, we haven't done a live show.
That is correct.
So it'd
That's
be fun.
True. We haven't.
We haven't, no. Yep. So it'd be fun to go out and meet the peeps, do a live show, bring Sean out, you know what I mean? Bring SD out and do a live debate.
That's correct.
I think it'd be great.
It'd be fun.
But, you know, if people can't attend because of their work schedule, I completely understand.
That's right.
YouTube.com/@1210WPHD. There's a poll. If we do an anniversary show slash debate with Sean and SD, who will be there, who will be in attendance, will you attend?
Yep.
And Nick also has something similar on the...
Yeah, same exact thing. What would you rather us? You know, where would you rather us do this from? Like a diner, restaurant, or a theater / auditorium? So there you go. I mean, maybe you won't be able to attend because you're a parent and you're heading to Woodbury High School to yell at teachers and guidance counselors and principals over the following story. Because Woodbury, this is from the Philadelphia Inquirer, has now implemented a cell phone ban at its junior and senior high school. And I talked about this in the Big Take a couple of days ago about the cell phone bans and that concept that is kind of sweeping the nation. I remember in July, Republican Governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, implemented that. I don't know if it's in play yet, but I know with Gavin Newsom in California, that'll go into effect July 1st of 2026. So when California kids go back to school in the fall of 2026, the cell phone ban will be in place, or there'll be severe restrictions with, you know, certain exceptions based upon, you know, rare circumstances. So my thing, as I said in the Big Take, is I'm against bans. I hate bans. I don't think they work. Although I do agree, and I know we are, as a audience, typically against bans, especially when the government is trying to ban something. And, you know, I guess you could say the schools obviously would apply to this equation, you know, especially from a public funded tax dollar standpoint. But again, I'm on board with this because I do think this little device that I'm holding that you see on YouTube right now, I think this is killing society. This thing was supposed to be something that makes us smarter, and it evolved from being something that went from a phone where you actually picked up the phone and talked to people to then texting to now it's all about apps and social media and messaging and how good your camera is. So like when you're Tony Bruno and you're maybe on the verge of being killed by a hurricane, you can record it and post it and say, look at me, I'm here in the middle of the hurricane like Jim Cantore. I think it's led to the de-evolution of society. I think it's really made, and the older generation, the older you are, the less I think the smartphone has impacted you, because you grew up where, like, mom and dad said, hey, when you see somebody, you make eye contact with them. You shake their hand, right? Social awkwardness is not something new, but I do believe in an era where human beings communicate all the time electronically, it leads to the uncomfortable nature of face-to-face human interaction. And this story from the Inquirer is interesting. So let me just give you a few excerpts of this. Students at Woodbury High School begin lining up shortly after they arrive at 7 a.m. for a check-in, and that is to lock up their cell phones for the duration of the school day. A new policy that took effect at the beginning of the school year bans students from using their cell phones and other electronic devices, including wireless headphones, during school. The devices are kept locked in a pouch until the final school bell rings. The South Jersey school system joins a growing number of schools nationwide that are trying to limit cell phone use while students are in school. Educators say the restrictions are needed to keep students engaged in learning without distractions. We talked about it. Trump even mentioned it at his last North Carolina rally. In 25 years, we've gone from the number one school systems in the country. And you look at the way we compared to other nations, we're now like the 40th nation on the planet with, you know, educating our children, yet we put more money into it than any other. So we're not getting any bang for our buck. It's a losing investment. Superintendent Andrew Bell pushed for a tougher approach after a policy in place for years banning students from using their cell phones proved difficult to enforce. Under that rule, students were instructed to keep their phones in their lockers or tucked away in their backpacks. Now Bell says, we just removed the distraction. We think it's a game changer. Teachers are ecstatic to have control of the classroom back and not in a battle over cell phones. They say it became an untenable situation. We had to do something. Our kids were not paying attention. So I love this from both fronts, from the education standpoint, as well as the mental health standpoint. Now, I know some kids have exceptions. I know people say, well, what happens if there's, God forbid, knock on wood, a school shooting? We've talked about that. They're not occurring at any frequency that's any different than it was 25, 35 years ago. But, Dawn, I also know, like, you have mentioned this. Mm-hmm. I think it's with your one of your sons with diabetes, so he checks it with his phone or with an app?
Yes, so Michael, so he is exempt from this. And it's a new Pennsylvania law. In fact, coming up at 11, Senator Ryan Aumentz, who's a Republican here in Pennsylvania, he's the one who introduced the bill, mm-hmm. but it's signed into law here to, you know, to limit the use of smartphones. But so for Michael, though, he's exempt from that because he has type 1 diabetes.
Totally get it. Totally get it.
And so his smartphone actually speaks to, you know, all the equipment that he wears to monitor his yep. glucose levels.
Yep.
So in that one, but still, he keeps it in his bag. You can't have the phone out. You mm-hmm. still have to abide by it's a law in Pennsylvania, so he certainly would abide by it.
Right. And look, I'm the first one to say I don't want schools parenting my children. I'm the parent, you're the teacher, we draw the line, we have a separation. It's like that story we gave you in the Big Take with the girl, the 15-year-old reading about incestual porn. I don't want teachers indoctrinating my kids. I don't want them giving them political opinions. You want to talk about the history of politics and talk about presidents from both sides and give facts? I'm totally good with that. But this is where I do think if parents are dropping the ball and not teaching their kids about the dangers of the cell phone and putting time limits and having extracurricular activities and not just being a zombie and zoning out on the phone with all these apps. This is where, you know, look, what are you going to do? You know, if the parent's not correcting it and the child, especially, I mean, think about a specific example. Well, you know, Miss Johnson calls you or emails, you know, Mr. Smith. Hey, for the last 6 weeks, I've been telling Johnny about the phone at his desk and the earbud in his left ear. It's got to come off. He's got to pay attention. And, you know, if that doesn't change and the kid continues to defy, this is why I think we've reached the point. And I'm no friend of the teachers union or anything like that over the last 4 years. But I do think most teachers do a good job and do the best they can.
Yeah.
Well, you have to do something, right? Like, I'm not sending my kid to go to school from 7:30 to 3:15 to sit there and keep looking at his TikTok feed. Like, you're there for a reason. And oh, by the way, we're paying for that.
Yeah, and part of it is what you're saying that, and teachers, all the studies say this, that the focus when they have access to that phone and they're looking at the phone and even during lunch or what have you, it does two things. They have less focus in class, and so now that affects the teachers, obviously.
Yep.
But then on the other hand, significant mental health declines, and they blame it right to the social media and the phone.
Mm-hmm.
So if they can just limit the use or just deplete the use of the phone in school, what they find is more attentive kids who are having social human interaction,
yeah.
which is good for them,
yep.
and is an interaction in class. They're listening in class, but then as well, it helps their mental health. So yep. it's really a win-win.
Yeah, and I think if you're a parent, regardless of whether you're Republican or Democrat, I think this is kind yeah. of one of these bipartisan things where a majority, not all, but a majority of parents are probably on board with this. Christopher is in South Jersey. He's a teacher, and he wants to comment. Christopher, you go right ahead.
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, guys. I want to say, what happened to teaching personal responsibility? We have to let the kids keep their phones so they understand how it's going to work in the real world. If you're on an engineering site and you suddenly get a text from, you know, your girlfriend, you can't stop what you're doing and go look at it. You got to practice personal responsibility. We coddle these children far too much. We give them far too much. We give them too much leash. You know, we got to pull back on it. But at the same time, we are educators. We are there to teach, not to coddle.
So I'm clear. You're on board with the ban, or would you rather the kids have the opportunity and then you take them away one by one if they don't fail to comply?
They need to have their phones on them. This is a crazy world. This is a 1975. You know, this is 2024. I am for them keeping their phone and teaching them the personal responsibility that it takes to handle such a device. Maybe they're, you know, if you're going to send your kid to, say, middle school with a cell phone, make sure that they're responsible enough to have that. If they're going to be a high schooler, they're going to be driving soon. We know not to drive distracted. Again, personal responsibility. The parents of the nation, and I speak as the father of three daughters, the parents of the nation got to step up to the plate and start being parents.
So let me ask you then, if you want the kids to have the devices and you're a teacher, have you had any specific instances where you had to go up to the desk, say, give me the phone, take it, put it in your personal teaching desk? Did you have any pushback? Have there been physical altercations? Has the student gotten mouthy and threatened you? I mean, what I'm just curious of all the different possibilities if you have that one-on-one, quote, confrontation with said student.
You're going to have it. There's no avoiding it. And then that's where we as adults come in. We're the adults in the classroom. They're children.
Yep.
You know, you have to, again, even some adults have shirked their personal responsibility. Teachers, policemen, firemen, you know, we are paid by you, the taxpayers. I thank God every day for the responsibility that the taxpayers have given me. And I thank them. And I do my darndest to do my job, to teach these children, to teach them right, the right way, the right time, the right things. Yes, when I have an interaction with a child, I treat them as if they were my own. I'm not going to raise my voice. That's not going to help. You're going to get into that battle of wills. Mm-hmm. So you know what? Judge Smales, Caddyshack, the world needs ditch diggers too.
That's true. Amen. God bless you.
If they don't figure it out in middle school, they'll figure it out when they're 30 years old asking, do you still want fries with that?
All right, Christopher, what's on the menu today at your school? Chicken nuggets, taco boats, or pizza?
Taco boats.
I'm heading for Chick-fil-A myself.
Amen.
Chick-fil-A, there he is. Christopher in South Jersey.
That would be my approach. Yes, he's 100% right.
I just feel like they've tried that and it hasn't worked.
Yes, but it's up to, you're right. Cell phones aren't going anywhere. Technology isn't going anywhere. In fact, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
So the kids, people need to learn how to deal with it in a way that is not harmful to them.
Yeah.
That's the God's honest truth.
Yeah. Got a little hankering now for some Chick-fil-A. Get a little
mustard.
A little mustard on that. Oh, baby.
But I will say that the Pennsylvania law, and it in part gives the schools grant money, and it is funding further studies that are needed, because there are ongoing studies from 2010, from about the time of smartphones. So in Pennsylvania, there essentially you can apply for the grant. Any school can get it, and you will get it. Mm-hmm. And it provides for these lockable bags, for these cell phone bags. But in general, if the school doesn't have that yet, what they're saying to the students is, we have a policy that your phone remains in your backpack. So it remains with you. It's just off or it's muted. And you're not going to pull it out, or even at lunchtime, just pretend that phone is not there. So they can keep it on their person, but they're not to pull it out in class. They're not to have the phone at lunch. They're not to have it in the hallways.
Yep.
They want you to just be focused on school. So I think that it kind of meets everything that we're talking about.
Yep. Carl writes, the problem is the parents use the cell phones as a pacifier. It's 100% right.
For young kids,
and then they get accustomed to it. You're right, because if you want them to not misbehave in a restaurant or when they're out somewhere, you just hand them a tablet, hand them a phone.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with cars.
Yep.
I mean, what did we do in cars? I mean,
we asked Dad if we were there yet.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like it's just this thing where, like, I'm bored. I don't know. Look outside.
Yeah.
Play a game. What's that game you used to play with the looking at different license plates and naming stuff and all that stuff? Like, there's fun games you can play. You don't need a tablet. You don't need, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, no, you're totally right. And I'm guilty of it as well. I take my girls to dance. If they start asking 30,000 questions, I'm like, just watch YouTube on your phone.
See?
I'm trying to navigate down Germantown Pike here, and you're back there yipping.
You're the problem.
I am. I am a fraud. 855-839-1210. We'll come back. Cut Sheet is coming up next here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
Let's find out what Stalker has lined up for a Friday edition of What's on the Cut Sheet.
What's on the cut sheet?
Whenever you say that headline, I always think of who is the coach that said, they are who we thought they were.
It was Denny Green.
Yeah. They are who we thought they were.
And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them.
The Chicago Bears?
Bears Cardinals.
Wow. Okay.
Monday Night Meltdown.
Yeah. What's on the cut sheet on this Friday? Sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo. Enjoy back-to-school savings on a 36-month lease of a C40 for $369 per month. Down payment, taxes, and registration fees due at inception, except no taxes on the C40 in New Jersey. Visit Cherry Hill Volvo today for details. Cherry Hill Volvo. Check them out on Route 70. Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships matter.
So no taxes on that vehicle, huh? Kamala's going to try to steal that idea and open up a car dealership.
So Mike just emailed me. He's a retired Philly PD officer.
Oh, thank you, Mike.
He says about the debate, he says, great idea. Keep in mind a large number of Trump supporters are retired people. We're all up at 5 a.m. with nothing to do anyway. I'm hoping Wayne Bonfiglio calls in, because he had a call in, Wayne, if I texted you, call in. He had a suggestion for where we could hold this debate. So
I'm open for any suggestion, although I cannot ride my bike 65 miles to the broadcast. I mean, that's one thing I'm not going to do this time.
Fair point. It's a fair point.
I got to draw a line in the sand somewhere.
Yeah. We're right now, YouTube, if we should do the anniversary show / debate, will you attend? Right now it's running. Where are we running here? About 52-48.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So the yeses have taken the lead, but,
okay,
you know.
This is just like the election. We're going to get Harry Enten on to break down some of the details.
Yeah, speaking of Harry Enten, we will get to him in just a couple minutes. I'm starting here with Cut 14, Phil. So yesterday, there was a hearing about what happened in Butler, Pennsylvania. Yes. On July 13th. Trump scheduled to go back to Butler on Saturday the, 5th, right?
Yes, correct. Saturday, October 5th.
October 5th. So this is ex-Navy SEAL and current House Representative Eli Crane, who warns Trump against going back to Butler.
I believe Eli Crane went to Butler after the assassination attempt and did his own surveillance.
Yeah. So let's play Cut 14, Phil, and hear what he had to say.
Rep. Mills and I both concluded within minutes of observation from the same exact positions used by Secret Service counter-snipers that this was a horrible venue for a rally, and Secret Service should have done everything possible to dissuade the campaign from hosting it there. To date, we have seen no evidence that Secret Service tried to dissuade the campaign from using the site due to the alarming threat profiles surrounding the site. Though I appreciate the former president's courage and strong desire to rally his supporters, I strongly suggest that he and his campaign avoid this site on October 5th and in the future, which leads me to my most concerning assessment now of both assassination attempts on the former president. I cannot be more clear. To this point, we have been extremely lucky. Whether either of these individuals were working in coordination with other groups, organizations, or nation states who desired to kill the former president, none of the individuals attempting to kill the president have been professionals.
So he says that they have been extremely lucky, as in those attempting to prevent any sort of death or injury upon the president. I see. I guess you could call it luck. I call it complete incompetence at a bare minimum, if not inside job. But I would now look, this guy probably has far more knowledge of that situation than I'll ever have. I can only go based off of, you know, intuition plus what is reported and shared, and then we try to connect our own, you know, cross our T's and dot our I's and figure everything out. But I would think, to me, the moment it was even speculated that he was coming back to Butler, PA, I said on this show, this is one of the most badass flexes I've ever seen. I mean, the guy was inches, millimeters, moments away from losing his head, and now he's going back. I mean, I even said before he gave us the official date, I think my my sales pitch, my idea was go back at the end of October and do that rally in the same exact spot, and then go dark for a week until the election. Let that be the last time that America sees you for like 5 to 7 days, and let that be the lasting image. Because we live in a snapshot society, right? Fight, 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 the fist pump, the bloody ear, the picture of the flag in the background with the blue skies on that day. Like, leave that indelible image in people's brains, and then let's see how things shake out November 5th. But this guy believes otherwise. I mean, I know we shouldn't say this because he's faced two assassination attempts in a 65-day stretch. But, I mean, do we really think anything's going to happen this time around in Butler, PA? I'd say no.
By the way, Eli Crane deployed to he enlisted in the Navy after the September 11, 2001 terrorist attacks and deployed 3 times as a Navy SEAL. So
yeah, badass dude right there.
Badass dude.
Yeah, exactly. Unlike Tim Walz.
Cut 15 here. Let me just finish up with this this thing here, Nick. Mm-hmm. Edward Lentz, he's from the Butler County Emergency Service Unit. He says at no point were they asked to deploy a sniper team to the roof. This is cut 15. Phil, go.
Good morning. My name is Edward Lenz. I'm a patrol sergeant for the Adams Township Police Department in Butler County, Pennsylvania, and the commander for the Butler County Emergency Services Unit. I was the commander of the local tactical units operating at the Butler PA presidential rally on July 13th. Butler ESU was initially requested to assist the U.S. Secret Service at the Butler rally by providing 2 counter-assault teams and a quick reaction force. Later, 2 sniper teams were added to that request during the planning process. We were assisted at the Butler rally by the Beaver County Emergency Services Unit, the Washington County Regional SWAT Team, and pre-hospital staff from Allegheny Health Network. Beaver ESU provided a 2nd armored vehicle with a counter-assault team and 2 police snipers. Washington Regional SWAT provided 4 tactical operators and 2 police snipers, and Allegheny Health Network provided an EMS physician and a paramedic to assist the tactical EMS providers already embedded with our teams. Across the 2 counter-assault teams, the quick reaction force, the 3 sniper teams, and support personnel, we provided a total manpower of 44 persons, exceeding the number requested by the Secret Service. At no point during the planning process was Butler County ESU asked to secure the AGR complex, nor the perimeter surrounding that area. At no point during the planning process was Butler ESU asked to deploy a sniper team to the roof of the AGR complex. And at no point in our operations plan did we ever say that we would deploy a sniper team to the roof of the AGR complex. From their positions inside the AGR building, the snipers were not able to see the roof where the shooter was located. And again, that was not within their area of responsibility.
What is so infuriating about this when you look at it at the local level versus the federal level is Butler County, Adams Township, the Butler ECU. You heard right there, 44 people deployed. They have limited resources, right? Yeah, this is, you know, out in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania. They have limited funds, limited bodies. But when we talk about the Secret Service, we talk about the federal government, they have unlimited resources. So when I hear and I read stories about Homeland, well, we had to resort to Homeland Security officers that had to do a 2-hour webinar, and then they were sent to protect Donald Trump. It is indefensible that a nation with unlimited resources at the federal level, like when they go after you with indictments, you know, whether it's Vince McMahon or Diddy or Trump or Eric Adams, they will throw the book at you, and they have a great batting average because most people can't fight back because they don't have the resources the federal government does. So when I hear Butler County versus Secret Service, I give Butler County and Adams Township all the credit in the world. They did the best job they could. But the onus is on the Secret Service. Yeah. And this casting blame at the local people is a joke.
Yeah, and you can, the difference to me is stark, that you have the local guys who are in, who unfortunately, they're in a reaction mode. So they're reacting in real time to reports and somebody shouting, and boom, they're moving into action. And they are clearly hustling and doing everything that they humanly can, panicking, basically, because they see, OMG, there's somebody up here. They're running. They're responding immediately. And then on the flip side of that, in stark contrast, you have the federal level folks who seem disturbingly lackadaisical.
Correct.
And Amen. That's, to me, it's just, whoa, how could you, that's your job.
Yeah.
And you, I'm sorry, but to blame, to say, well, we didn't have the protocol, or I was on the phone with the 1-800 number. I just cannot in all good conscience say, well, they're just a bunch of dummies. These are not dummies.
No.
These are high level individuals. This is I know people who dreamed. I worked with a guy who dreamed of getting one of those Secret Service jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, years ago, got into that. But he was, such an incredible, he was a brilliant guy, college grad, had tried for years to get into it. It's an elite unit.
Yes.
So this, they cannot say, oh, it was just some incompetent guys.
No.
Nope.
Tomorrow marks 10 weeks, and the answers that the federal agencies have provided are as laughable and as bad as Diddy's lawyer a few days ago when he was asked about all the lubricant. He goes, well, you would buy a bulk at Costco. Like, really? That's what you got, bro? I mean, come on, man. Yeah, I might have been born that night. It wasn't last night. Rochelle is in Woodbury, and I think she has some firsthand knowledge of our South Jersey cell phone ban. Rochelle, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing well.
First, a couple of things. I won tickets to see Pints in Politics, and I loved it. So thank you very
nice.
Much.
Rochelle.
Woo! Awesome.
Yeah.
Glad you enjoyed it.
We had a great time. I took my 21-year-old son. We had a wonderful time.
Beautiful.
Awesome.
The other thing is, somebody suggested maybe having your debate, your live debate on Columbus Day, maybe more people would attend.
Columbus Day.
I don't know if that's possible.
Paid day off for people.
Listen, very good suggestion.
Yes.
Okay, not mine, but okay. And the other thing is, first I want to start by saying my kids went to Woodbury. The teachers are wonderful. Loved all of them. But what Chris is saying about teaching personal responsibility, that's too much to ask for these kids, if you ask me. As an adult, you go to the movies. People keep their cell phones on. They're adults. People are texting and driving all the time. I know I do. And then put these devices in front of the kids where they have them 24 hours a day. I think teaching responsibility, they would learn the responsibility of, oh, I didn't have it all day and I survived.
And
you know,
my screen says you are a teacher. So have you seen a difference?
I am a teacher.
And have you noticed the difference with the ban, or is that ban not installed where you are?
That's not installed where I'm in an elementary school.
Okay. Okay.
So even having Chromebooks all day is an issue.
Yeah. Do you now, as an elementary school teacher, what grade are you teaching?
I'm a technology teacher.
Okay.
I teach K to 6.
Okay. Are you seeing, what percentage of K through 6 kids are showing up at school with phones? Any idea?
A lot, but I work in a wonderful school district. The kids are amazing. They put them away. They don't take them out. And in fact, at the end of the day, if they have to call a parent about an after school activity, they ask, can I take my phone out and text my mom or my dad or whomever?
Okay.
Yeah. I don't see it here, but I know at Woodbury, a very different school district than where I teach, it's an issue.
Okay, fair
it's
enough.
It's a distraction.
Yeah. Rochelle, thank you for the insight, and we're glad you enjoyed Politics and Pints. There she is, Rochelle in Woodbury, New Jersey.
Interesting.
Greg, you ask, and he delivers.
Oh, who's that?
Let's go to Wayne Bonfiglio.
What's up, Wayne?
Wayne, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Good morning, Nick. Good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing?
What's up, Wayne?
We're doing well. How are you?
Living the life. Living the dream.
All right, so you, you're answering the text from Stalker. I guess no cell phone ban for you two.
Not while I'm working.
All right, what do we got? What are you going to offer here? What are we thinking?
So listen, I'm offering the rest stop one. You know, South Jersey Lodge 56.
Nice.
We'll make breakfast.
What?
We'll make breakfast.
Wow.
We will make breakfast for everyone.
You had me at breakfast.
And, and then, listen, we're going one step further. We're going to have Mark O'Connor and everyone from the families behind the badge. They'll be serving coffee and mimosas.
What? Wow.
Absolutely.
Oh, man.
Let's do this.
That is amazing.
I'll take one of each.
You don't have to drive. You don't have to ride a bike from the station.
Can I get a DUI on a mountain bike?
You absolutely can. You know. But listen, we won't let that happen.
Okay. How many can it hold there, Wayne?
We can hold about 90 people.
Okay, cool.
In the front part, and then we can open up the back, and we can do breakfast in the back.
All right.
This way, people won't be munching and chewing while the Nick's on the air.
Right.
I like it. And you can set it, like, we have set up for all our technical needs. You know, if we're going to do this debate with faux Trump and faux Kamala, you know, we can have the podiums and all that nonsense.
Oh yeah, we'll take care of it. We'll do what we have to do.
Awesome.
Listen, push comes to shove, if the weather's going to be nice, like Nick wants it and Greg doesn't, we can go for a big tent out in the parking lot.
Oh wow, big tent! I like that. This is great, yeah. Wayne. My people will call your people. How about that?
Yeah.
Just give a call. We'll get this happen. We'll make this happen.
I love it. Right. Love it.
There Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
Thank you, Wayne.
You got it.
You're the greatest.
Take it easy.
Yep. You too, Wayne.
Love this. Okay.
Right. You jot that down. You put it on your little notepad over there.
Anniversary show. FOP Lodge. What did he say? 56?
56.
Nice.
Yeah, I just heard the coffee and mimosas.
And the families behind the badge will be serving drinks.
Yeah.
Like,
nice.
Did he say booze?
Yeah,
he said
mimosas and coffee.
Having a Bloody Mary for
I think we throw
in the big guy.
Yeah, Bloody Mary as well.
This is West Berlin, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I just will remind you, Columbus Day. Is Indigenous Peoples Day.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Dawn, you better keep your mouth closed.
Okay. So we'll look into this and see if we can do it at the in West Berlin, New Jersey, at the at FOP Lodge 56.
Yeah, a bunch of emails will go out. We'll have a conference room meeting. You know, all the things all the suits do.
Love this.
Yeah,
we have to actually make once we have faux Trump on in 20 minutes, we have to make sure that he'll come to New Jersey.
Well, I know. He's got to go there.
Yeah.
Get up, Harry!
Okay, this probably is my favorite cut of the cut sheet this morning. And not in a good way. CNN did a report, and they found that so they took these kids, and they took this like psychologist or these researchers, and they asked these kids all these questions about politics,
mm-hmm.
like little kids.
Yep.
And they found more extreme responses from kids in blue states than kids in red states.
Shocking.
And when you hear some of the stuff that these kids who don't, you know, they're just repeating what they hear their parents say.
That's
right?
correct.
When you hear some of these things they say, it's shocking. Phil, this is cut three. If you want to roll this, please.
Overall, the biggest finding, the children in the study were polarized, with what researchers called more extreme responses from the blue state kids than the red state kids.
Donald Trump, he did bad things. He's like Hitler.
He only wanted to be president so that he can just control everybody.
Trump is supporting January 6th now. I remember that January 6th was a bunch of Republicans believing Trump. I feel like they thought Trump was a god. People got arrested. I think one officer died afterwards. That was a big day.
The study found that these Democrat-leaning kids were about 9 times more likely to express negative emotions about Donald Trump than Republican-leaning kids were about Kamala Harris. Why might that be? Psychologist Ashley Landrum has some ideas.
So Donald Trump is a very
polarizing figure. And it's very possible that the kids are reacting to their parents reacting to Donald Trump being a very different kind of political figure than what we've seen before. So do the red state kids hold as strong of attitudes? Well, not when we're talking about Kamala Harris. In part, that could be because they don't know that much about her.
Landrum was also curious about how kids saw their peers in the political divide.
So do you think that the kids that live in those two houses would be friends with each other?
They can.
They can.
There's no law breaking that.
It doesn't matter if you are different by skin color or it doesn't matter if you are different by people. You can still be friends.
The study found that Republican-leaning kids were more open to visiting a Democrat-supporting household. The Democrat-leaning kids were about five times more likely to say they would not want to go to a pro-Trump house.
Would they be okay with you going over to somebody's house who is really supportive of President Trump?
No.
No? And why not?
Because they know that he's not like black people, so they will not be happy to see me.
Would your family let you go over to somebody's house who's really supportive of Donald Trump?
No.
No, they wouldn't?
No.
And why not?
Because, like, my mom and dad don't like Donald Trump at all. Not a single bit.
Would you be okay going over to somebody's house whose family really likes Kamala Harris?
I think it'd be fine. It's just about the personality of the people.
Would your family be okay if you went over to somebody's house who really liked Donald Trump?
If I want to be real over here, went over there, I imagine be a good old argument or a fight. Maybe like food fight or something.
Food fight.
Wow.
Wow.
So, so let's think about this because there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. I mean, the obvious one is you have, I don't know, Democrat parents or parents that hate Trump that are telling their kids this stuff at such an early age, which also kind of goes and, bucks the notion of, boy, those MAGA Republicans, they are just evil people. You didn't hear one hateful commentary from any kid that's raised in a Republican household.
And that's what they found.
Uh-huh. Oh,
that was their study. They found that that's read their whole right. I read this whole thing. I watched all the stuff they did.
Mm-hmm.
They found that by and large, that the Republican parenting families, those kids had less of this hatred.
Yeah.
Yep. You don't. These kids are just repeating what they hear either in school.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or at home.
Oh, no, this is from home.
Yeah, I would agree.
The question where they said, what if you went to a friend's house and they're Trump supporters, the parents are Trump supporters, that's revealing and that's tragic.
Yeah.
They're damaging their children.
Mm-hmm.
And shame on that.
By the way, this wasn't a Newsmax study or an OAN study. This was CNN.
Oh, yeah.
CNN did this. Anderson Cooper was the voiceover on
this. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's sad. And
yeah.
It's
interesting.
Did you guys know who your parents voted? Like what side of the aisle?
Yes.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know as a kid. And I can tell you just from recollection, I don't ever remember I started kindergarten in 1990 at 6. I don't ever remember in the 90s at all from 1990 through 1999 ever even thinking or talking about a president. Like, I knew Bill Clinton was the president. I knew Bush was the president. But I never, we never had those conversations.
What did you talk about with your parents?
Sports.
Sports.
Sports?
Yeah.
Because your mom wasn't a big...
I think today, because my dad passed away in 2010. I think both of my parents were, I would say, moderate Democrats. My dad, I think today... If my dad was alive in 2016, see, he hated both sides with the war criminal stuff, mm-hmm. and he didn't like the Bushes. He also wasn't really fond of the Clintons. I could see him being a Trump supporter. I definitely could. But my mom, not crazy like my mother-in-law, but my mom would have voted for Hillary. I believe that.
And your mom worked for a major, well-known newspaper, right?
Yeah, the Express Times.
For years.
Yep.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Sales and marketing, but like a journalist.
But still, I mean,
yep.
Beloved there worked like 20 years, you said?
Yeah.
At some point, so.
Yep. But those conversations never came up.
I know what you're saying, Dawn. I, I do agree that a lot of this stuff comes from home, but you don't think any of it comes from schools?
Nope.
I do.
From teachers?
Yes.
Yes, but by age 10, less from teachers, more from home, and then reinforced in school. Yes, I will agree with that, but mostly this is from home.
If my son's teacher is MAGA or a liberal, I don't care. I don't want them teaching my son any sort of ideology at all.
And just think of, you know, when we were growing up, you learned about, you know, JFK. You learned about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln. Imagine where we're going to be 10 years, 20 years from now, 50 years from now, when the new history books are published. And January 6th or the 2020, when all of this stuff goes into the quote history, and I get it, you know, you have laptops and Chromebooks these days. But, like, when that starts to get taught, you know it's going to be taught from a slant. Like, there's no way it's just going to be, well, this is what occurred. It's going to be what occurred, who was to blame. And my girls were only 4 weeks into school in Bluebell, and it's more blue, no pun intended, than it was in Nashville, where my girls went K through four. Now, they went to a public school in Nashville, and it's a blue city, but it's a red state. Even to your point, Dawn, I do think there is some of the, or maybe it was Greg's point with the coming home from the school. There were times in kindergarten, first, second, and third grade where my daughters would make a comment, and I'd be like, "Where did you hear that from?" And Olivia or me would say, "I heard it at school." I go, "Oh, was that from your classmates or your teachers?" And it was a mix, but there were times where they're making little snide remarks about Trump. Because you know most teachers are probably, you know, liberal in the teachers union and they hate Trump. So I do think some of it does come from school.
I have, like Dawn said, kudos to CNN for doing that study because that was shocking to me. Honestly, it was shocking to me.
And the producer, the field producer that I watched, the blonde young woman.
Yeah.
She's very fair. She asks good questions, just follow-up questions, like, why are you afraid or something? But she's very kind and child-friendly and responsible in her questioning. And so I felt kudos to them. Like I say, they did a good job and revealing something that hopefully every parent watches that and thinks, you know, maybe this is not good for me to vent about such grown-up things in front of my kids.
I want to stick with this parents, children theme that we're doing right now. I've had this for a couple of days now, and I really want to play this. Nick, if you can pull up your video monitor there so you can kind of narrate along with this. This is, I saw this the other day, and I just, it my blood boiled because it's so infuriating. So this mother goes to TikTok, and she has a daughter who is in the video with her, who's not, she's not a little kid, but she's not 18. She's certainly not 18. She's probably maybe 13, 14. And she's taking, she's convinced her child that she's in the wrong body, and she's taking testosterone and to be a boy. And this looks like a hostage video. She's trying to get her daughter to say how these new testosterone treatments are going. The kid is kind of like, fine, okay, fine. And it's just, it's so disturbing to see. So, Nick, if you want to narrate along with this is cut one. Phil, go.
Hola.
What?
He's excited to be here. Marshall, what? Do you want to do a week four on testosterone?
Oh, boy.
Boys?
Your buddy, by the way. What is that?
Week four. The same.
How are you feeling?
The same.
Any effects? Anything changing?
Got no interest in this.
Can you stop for a second?
Yeah, pause.
Any high points?
This is
look at him fidgeting with the thing. God.
Does this not look like a hostage video?
Right, like you're gonna give my TikTok feed an update on what you're feeling 4 weeks into this absurd treatment.
So how old is this boy again?
I'm not sure.
If I had to guess, 13.
Yeah,
maybe
because
maybe.
She said something about she's entering high school. How old are you in high school? 14 when You get into high school at 14.
Ninth grade.
13, 14.
So she's going into high school, she said, with all the other pubescent boys and or prepubescent or whatever it is. And it, so I'm guessing she's probably around 14 years old. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is and guys, it only gets worse because she then later on talks about how her quote unquote son is going to be so hot. The mother says this.
Yes.
This mom, first of all, is look at the way just observing the video of her. Just look at. She has done her hair. She's straightened her hair. She has spent a lot of time making herself up.
Yep.
Her makeup, her lip liner, her eyeliner. She has spent, I'll estimate, 2 hours on her hair and her makeup and her look. And she's very conscious of how she looks. This is all about this crazy mom who, in my opinion, somebody should swoop in and take that kid away from her.
I agree.
She is not fit.
I agree. Mm-hmm. All right, keep going there, Phil.
Thanks. Any back wings?
Not really.
Not really, she said.
Are we struggle busing a little bit with the injection?
Struggle busing?
So, like, it's the anxiety of doing it.
Oh my god.
A little bit of a struggle bus.
She's fixing her hair, looking at herself.
This is all about her.
Yep.
This is all about the mother.
Showing her cleavage.
Pretty sure at school next week.
Yeah.
High school with testosterone, so you're going to be like on equal playing field with all the other
like
pubescent boys.
Oh god.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
Do you want to say something next?
Yeah. So
stop it for a second.
Is this a biological female transitioning to a man?
Yes.
I just want to make sure I got that right.
Yep.
Okay. And you're right. This definitely seems like this is the agenda of the mom. Say, so I don't know how they arrived at the point that they're doing this, but she is clearly trying to reinforce it wasn't so bad, was it? It's the, I told you it wouldn't be. It's like, you know, when you take your kid to the doctor and they're scared of getting like a shot and they get that shot and you're like, that wasn't so bad, was it, little Skippy? And 4 weeks in, you're not dealing with that, are you? That's actually very disturbing. Dawn, you're not out of line. You're not overreacting when you say somebody should step in and take that kid away.
She's doing this on TikTok.
I know.
And she's injecting her child with testosterone.
First of all, where?
First of all, how, are these everyday injections?
And these are one of the rare videos where we play you of the female transitioning to boy.
Who are
usually it's the guy going to girl.
Who's
I
the
feel nauseous?
Where's the father? Who's this mother?
If I had to guess, single mom.
Who are the doctors? Who are the doctors that are doing this? All of this. 14 years old.
Yeah, who prescribed?
14
this?
Years old.
Well, the doctors to me should be stripped of their medical license. They're not abiding by the Hippocratic Oath. They're in it for a profit. I think it's all a sham, but. I mean, I would like to blame the dad. If the dad's not involved, again, this is where fathers actually really do matter.
Well, for two things, maybe she was artificially inseminated, but if there's a father, he clearly ran. He bailed.
No. They reference the father later because the father apparently has facial hair, and the mother tells her daughter that she is going to be hotter than her father.
I have a full mustache and beard.
Did you hear that right, Dawn? Hotter than her father. This
Which
is the mother saying.
That's
this.
Weird yes. right there.
Well,
that's,
it shows how superficial she is, and it goes to the point.
But
the
creepy.
Point you're talking
You don't
about,
talk about your 13, 14 year old kid.
Right.
Hot.
Well, and she, like you said, she's doing her hair. She obviously did her makeup.
She's,
she didn't roll out of bed and just record this.
No. She spent time grooming herself. She's purposely, she has a shirt over her, whatever, yoga. Leotard and she's boosted up her so she shows cleavage. No, she's thought about how she's gonna look. It's all about her, and you can see her. She keeps looking at herself in the camera, you know what I mean? She keeps looking at herself and kind of doing her hair, and then she touches her lipstick. But this is all about this crazy mom who is, this is child abuse.
Keep going, Phil, please.
Things to look forward to with that.
Look at this camera.
What's the one thing you are really looking forward to?
Running from you.
Playing football.
The impacts.
Voice change and facial hair.
Voice change and facial hair.
Yeah. Yep.
from a studly beard like your dad. You'd be so much hotter than him.
What?
That's not a...
Cute, stubbly, like a...
Not quite that short. Not like
here. Right. Like a Nick Campbell.
Look at her. The mom's looking at herself, smiling. Mm-hmm. She's not looking at her kid.
Yeah. It's a hot look.
Yeah. Hot look.
Really
oh my God!
Yeah,
is this child hearing impaired? Is this child doing some sign language?
No. They're
okay. They're just
they both have earbuds in. Okay, so they could, they could do this stupid TikTok video.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know what to say about this. I mean, this is it's so disturbing on so many levels. Like, I don't know how you. What do you do?
Yeah.
What do you do for this?
Yeah. Let's see what Mark thinks. He's got some thoughts. 855-839-1210. Mark in Philadelphia. You go right ahead, Mark.
Good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Hey, my wife, I'm center rightish. My wife is left. And I've always said, like, this is, like, really nuts. And I think it's going to go further with this lady. I think it's going to go further. It's almost like a bait for these young males. It sounds like it. But I always think that, how a father has once a son, and then they have like four daughters and they never had the son. And I think they use this to transition their daughter or son so they can have their son or daughter they never had. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
And it's just like wacky out there, man. It is wacky. We got to do something about this. They definitely got to take this kid away from this mother. And so that's my input on it. And Greg, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. I think he was going to say something else, but I kind of just got there. No, like, I mean, look, you get what you get when you create a kid, right? Like, I got... But I got buy one, get one free. I got two girls with one bullet, So what are you going to do? But I never had thoughts of, I'm going to transition my twin daughters to boys so they could be twin football players and fulfill the goal that I had set out of. Like, you get what you get. But here's the thing, too. I would argue it would be weird for me as a dad to say to my girls as they're growing up, man, you're on track to be hotter than mom. Like, that would be a weird thing to say. Now factor in that it's a biological female transitioning to become a male.
Yep.
And the mom says to her girl that is now trying to be a boy, you're going to be hotter than dad.
So weird. It's such a such a weird conversation. I saw this and I actually did a little digging because I was like, this can't be real. This has to be... You know me, I don't believe anything I see on the internet. So,
you need four sources.
I'm telling you everything I've seen, and I went back to this person's feed. Like, this seems to be legit. And it's effing scary. I don't know what else to say about this other than this is mental illness that they are perpetuating onto their child that they're never, once you start taking these hormones and stuff, you're doing damage to your body for the rest of your life.
And
that's it.
The brain doesn't finish formulating until your mid-20s.
At 13 or 14.
And you just know that if you saw this, if this was happening, let's just say she was filming this in a public place and you're just a normal functional human being that thinks this is kind of crazy and weird and you walked by her and you tried to intervene and you can share your 2 cents. I give it 2.5 seconds before she explodes on you, right? There's no doubt.
And so testosterone, they would have to, I'm looking this up, Mayo Clinic, everybody has it. So these are daily injections, daily a needle every day with an injection.
It's unbelievable.
And so there are a lot of, risks, side effects. And one of the risks is type 2 diabetes. It can make too many red blood cells, high blood pressure, rise in low density, cholesterol, sleep apnea.
I would like to know what this doctor and the parents, or at least the mother, saw in their daughter that they were like, well, this child clearly, because I knew a lot of girls, 13, 14 years old, that were tomboys, that went out, played football with us.
Mm-hmm.
The you know, and by the way, they're all straight now. It's not like they were. They just like to.
It's
you know,
a phase.
Yes, exactly. You're taking a phase, and you're damaging them for the rest of their lives.
It's a fad. It's a trend. My wife was a tomboy when she was growing up. She always wanted to play with the boys and not be around the girls playing Barbies.
And by the way, she might be a lesbian, but that doesn't mean she has to be a guy,
right? Whatever. So, and you know, I always go back to the quotes that we've read, the clips that we have played from those in just the gay and lesbian community that had to overcome all the stigmas, and now they look at what's going on with the trans community. And by the way, like a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are against the whole trans surgical stuff, the hormones, the injections. The media tries to spin it as, oh, Christian conservatives are homophobic. There's people in the gay and lesbian community that are saying the same thing that we are saying on talk radio. This stuff is insane.
It's insane. I can't wrap my head around the fact we've all known tomboys or, you know, girls that hung out with the guys, would rather hang out with the guys, 13, 14 years old, that grew up to be, you know, straight.
Yes. And by the way, some of the tomboys back in the day were hot as hell. You throw in a scrunchie and all of a sudden you look totally different.
I can't imagine this. What doctor would go along with this? Is like, hey, maybe, you know, okay, maybe there's, maybe give it a couple years. Maybe give it a couple years. I don't know. You know what I mean?
My whole bit is you get to 18, do whatever the heck you want.
Yeah, and even I was looking at the National Transgender Discrimination Survey report and within their health news.
Yeah.
And even they're saying that generally speaking, this so-called T therapy, which is testosterone therapy, that oftentimes it's more likely over the age of 16.
Mm-hmm.
So 17, 18. Yeah. So under the age of 16, that would require, you know, that would require more usually for a doctor to diagnose this. Usually they begin with some therapy, like talking therapy for somebody with gender dysphoria, and then kind of wait until they're at least 16.
Yeah.
This child who's a freshman is clearly not 16.
Yeah. All right. That'll do it for the cut sheet. A little bit more coming up probably after 9:30 this morning. But coming up next.
Harry, get your fat ass out of the couch. You're going to vote for Trump today, Harry.
DJT joins Talk Radio 1210. Stay right there.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Mr. President, good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning to everybody, and hopefully everybody got through the hurricane very well and strongly. You know, it was going to come to West Palm Beach, I told you, and I said, you're not going to do that, and unfortunately it went somewhere else, but I can tell you this, if I was your president, there wouldn't have been a hurricane. It never would have happened. But, you know, we got through very well, and the winds were blowing very hard, like...
Oh, no.
We're not going to say it,
but
you know what I'm talking about.
No.
Good morning to everybody.
Good morning to you. Very big day as you will be with Zelensky and Kamala Harris will be at the border, which is weird because the border's your thing and Zelensky's kind of her and Biden's thing. It's Finkel is Einhorn, Einhorn is
Excuse
Finkel.
Excuse me, and that may or may not be who I was talking about, but you know that. Okay.
Well said.
Not Kamala, maybe. Not Kamala. Zelensky, I can tell you. You have to work really hard to get billions and billions of dollars, you know? You have to work really hard.
They used to call
and I heard Zelensky is very good. I heard he's very good about it.
Oh, man.
You know, when they talk about it.
Oh, no.
When you talk about when I was your president and we were sending him the Javelin RPGs, I said, we're not going to send you a lot because I think I know what you want to do with it, but we don't need to go that way.
Right.
We don't have to talk about it.
What a joke. What a disgrace it is. You've got Zelensky here in our country. You have him with Josh Shapiro, the Pennsylvania governor, basically campaigning and endorsing Kamala Harris. Your thoughts on that, as well as Harris actually going to the border today. And I just can't imagine, Mr. President, how anybody's going to sit there and say, oh, now she is serious about the border. It seems like nothing more than a staged photo op.
Well, the fake news is going to say, look at the border czar. She's finally the border czar again at the border. She wasn't the border czar for the last couple of months. Now she's going to be the border czar. They're going to say, what a fantastic czar, the greatest czar. She's been absent. MIA, they call it missing in action. MIA. What a horrible person she is. But you look at what she did and where she's at the border. And you look at Zelensky. We just talked about him and the javelin missiles and what the hell he wants to do with them. And I don't think he wants to use them on Putin. I think he wants to do something else. But we can talk about that another day. But you look at Ukraine. You look at Russia, Russia, Russia. And Zelensky came over here. He was in Pennsylvania with Josh. You know, Josh Shapiro, you must be this tall to be president or vice president. He's too short. That's why she didn't pick him. That's why I didn't pick DeSantis, by the way. We call him DeSantis again because he's a good guy again. He loves his mustard. We love his mustard, too. He's a great guy.
Mustard.
But you must be this tall. He wanted to be VP. You must be this tall. I'm what you call a height supremacist. That's what it is. You have to be tall. But you look at Zelensky with Josh. He should have been the running mate, but too short. He was signing the bombs. These are bad things to do. You don't sign the bombs. He was signing the bombs. He was campaigning for Kamala on taxpayer dollars. We call that election interference. Mm. Election interference. Putin came here, or if, and I know him very well, BB. That's BB. Why his nickname is BB.
BB.
I named him BB. I said, it's a great name. BB, we want to bring you in. If he came into Pennsylvania or Georgia or Arizona or one of these places and said, vote Trump, they'd yep. say he's having problems. This is election interference. Yep. Zelensky comes in. He's tap dancing all over the place. He's doing everything he can to get billions and billions of dollars, as if we haven't sent enough. Nobody has a problem with it. It's a disgrace.
Need to get your thoughts. Speaking of election interference, let's stay on this topic because we have more of it with big tech, this time coming from Meta and AI with their ChatGPT, this chat box thing they use. And when you search the two candidates, you get Kamala Harris, and Meta says she is a trailblazer. Yet when they search you, the results come back that you're crude and that you're lazy. I thought we resolved this. Are you going to have a conversation with Zuck and talk about this?
Well, here's what we're going to do with Zuckerberg. You know, he says he wants to appeal more to conservative people. It's a little late for that. You banned 3/4 of the people off your platform. The other people can't do anything. But he wants to appeal more. I say you take Meta. And I know a thing or two about branding. You know that I brand everything very well. And we're going to make Meta stand for Make Everything Trump Again. We're going to do that. And Zuckerberg is going to do it. If he wants to survive, he's going to do it. Embrace the Meta. Make Everything Trump Again. And we could save Facebook. We could save Instagram. You know, I don't want to ban TikTok, even though I don't like China. We got along very well with them. Instagram wants us to ban TikTok. We're not going to do that because people like TikTok. There are some people who do fantastic things on TikTok, even though it's China. We don't like China. No. We get along well with them. Winnie the Pooh, the president and dictator, you know, President Xi of China. And he's a nice guy, but also somebody who will walk all over you if you're not a strong person. I'm a very strong person, quite frankly, one of the strongest people the world has ever seen. Nobody's ever been stronger. But Zuckerberg is a disaster, and he wants Meta, and we're going to turn that into Make Everything Trump Again and help him if he wants to help. Maybe he doesn't want to help. Yeah. But what's happening over there is a bad – it's a raw deal. We call it a scam. It's a raw deal, and nobody knows deals like I do.
It's true.
I love deals. Yeah. I make great deals. I wrote a book about it, Art of the Deal, the greatest book. And the second greatest book is Melania's book. It's out. It's a bestseller. Second greatest. Second we have greatest, Art of the yeah. Deal, and actually what people don't realize – I'm the ghostwriter of Melania's book. I just want to say that.
From Make Everything Trump Again, is it's not just a phrase. It's actually true.
It's a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. I just read a headline, Mr. President, that said, from Bibles to bling, now you are selling gold Trump watches, and one of the models actually goes for $100,000. I don't know. Maybe Snoop would buy one from you.
Snoop.
Well, we love Snoop Dogg. He's a great guy. Snoop Dogg, he was going to be the running mate for a while. And then he decided he didn't want to do that because, you know, you can't consume all of the THC in the White House. It can't be the greenhouse, okay? This is the problem. And if you want to do that, you could do that. I know Bob Marley. I've known him for a long time. He was a great guy. And we wrote a lot of music together.
Oh,
I said, Bobby, we have to. He was born Robert Nesta Marley. You know that? And I said, we have to call him Bob. Bob Marley. What a great. And then I said to the whole room, I said, this is going to be a great reggae. Nobody knows reggae like I do. And I said, this is going to be great. We're all going to, one day, we're going to get together and feel all right. And they said, that's brilliant. I said, okay, one love. We'll see you later. We got to be great. And we left. But Bob Marley, legend. I helped him do it. I said, no woman, no cry. We're not going to let the women cry. We don't want to see that happen because men are playing in women's sports. They're making the females cry. We said, no woman, no cry. He said, that's brilliant. I remember when we were in the government's yard in Trenchtown. You know that. I wrote the song. Great song. No woman, no cry. But we love Snoop Dogg. We were talking about watches. Now we're talking about Bob Marley.
Yeah.
We have Snoop Dogg. If he wants a watch, $100,000, I'm sure he can afford it. But I would probably give him one on the arm because he's a great guy.
Yeah.
He endorsed me. He was almost my vice president. And we love Snoop. He's a great guy.
Wow.
Donald Trump joining us here on Kale and Company as we continue in his weekly appearance on a Friday morning. He returns each and every week. And he is returning in just about 8 days to Butler, Pennsylvania. As Mr. President, you have now confirmed Saturday, October 5th, Butler, PA, same location from that awful day of July 13th. I have said, it is the biggest badass political move I have seen in my lifetime. Your thoughts as you're just over a week out from returning to that awful day?
Well, we're going to remember Corey Comparator. He should still be with us, but bad people did very bad things. But we're ready to go to Butler and the Secret Service. We'll see what they do. You know, they're always full of surprises. We'll see what happens. But the agents who protected me there were very good. They were very special people, great people, including the one person who couldn't put the gun away. She's a very special person, if you know what I'm talking about. They call her Paula Blart. They call her Paula Blart. She's a mall cop, okay? But she did a very good job for what she could do. But we're going to Butler, and we love Butler, Pennsylvania. We love the state of Pennsylvania. Pennsylvania's a great state. But we're going to Butler because we're going to show people that we will not back down. We're not going to surrender. And we're going to Butler. I heard they made the roofs a little more sloped this time so nobody can get up there, including the Secret Service. Apparently, they have a lot of problems when there's a slope or if it's hot. But we're going to Butler, and we're going to be at the rally. It's going to be a great rally, probably the greatest. You know, every time I rally, it's the greatest. When we do one, it's the greatest. It's better than yesterday. We never have a bad one. So we're having a good one. It's going to be great in Butler. 1 month before the election. And we're going to win this election like nobody's ever seen before. We're doing so well. We're leading by a lot. And we have a big, big lead. And we're very excited to come back to Butler.
Wow. Well, before you get to Butler, and that's the 1 month anniversary, well, actually 1 month before the election, before you get there, you're going to be in Tuscaloosa tomorrow for the Alabama-Georgia game. And there are reports out there that your college, and this is not a joke, as Joe Biden would say, your college game day meal menu has included the following items that you've requested when you head to Bryant-Denny Stadium. You want McDonald's, you want Domino's, and you want a Diet Coke. Can you confirm those reports?
Well, we love McDonald's.
Yeah, yeah.
We love McDonald's. You know that. I said in an interview recently that I eat proper hamburgers. You know that? That's the McDonald's hamburger. We love it. The Big Mac.
Yep.
The MAGA Big Mac, too. We love the Big Mac. We made the McNuggets. I don't know if you know the story. I helped invent the McNugget.
Wow.
It was a tremendous thing. Me and Ronald McDonald, we go way back. They called us Ron and Don back in the day. My own two hands, I sculpted the golden arches, the greatest arches the world has ever seen. It is because of McDonald's arches that St. Louis said, we want one. So we put one in St. Louis, too, the Gateway Arch. We love the Gateway Arch. And if it was my decision, it would be a gold arch. But they didn't have the money to do it, so they did a little steel arch. We love steel, U.S. steel. But we have McDonald's. We love McDonald's. And Kamala says she worked at McDonald's. She says she did the fries. She never did the fries. The only thing she did for McDonald's, there's a meme going around the internet, some relationship with Ronald, but I spoke to Ron. I spoke to Ron. You know, I spoke to Ron. She gave him a McFlurry, apparently. Oh. That's what I heard. But I spoke to Ron. I'm talking about ice cream, by the way. Get your mind out of the gutter.
Thank you, sir.
Sick people. Very sick people, I got to tell you. Sick people. I spoke to Ron. She never worked there. But we did very well. And we love McDonald's. We love the McNugget. We love the French fry.
Yeah.
You know that? And we love the Big Mac. The Big Mac is a tremendous thing. And when I was your president, the ice cream machines worked. Now they don't work. Ask yourself why that is. Are you better off at McDonald's than you were 4 years ago? The answer is absolutely not. But we're looking forward to a great game. Alabama, they say, roll tide. They say in Georgia, go dogs. We love dogs. Beautiful dogs. Talented dogs. Not the kind of dog like Al Baghdadi. He died like a sad little puppy. Horrible, like Christy Gnome. Like Christy Gnome's dog. Or maybe one of the ones from Springfield. Who knows? But we have a wonderful thing happening. We're going to watch college football, and we're going to have a great time at the game. It's going to be a fantastic game. And we're not picking because we don't want people to be mad.
That's right. Two red states, you can't trigger one of them. I got it, Mr. President. We'll wrap with this. You mentioned your opponent, Kamala Harris. We here on Kale and Company are attempting to pull off a second debate between you and Comrade Kamala, but we're trying to workshop it, figure it out. Do we want to do it at a diner? Do we want to do it in an auditorium? Any preference for you, sir? And can we get you to commit and lock in? I know you have a very, very busy schedule.
Well, if it was up to me, we'd call Dana White. We'd do it in the octagon, but we're not going to do that. We could do it anywhere. I don't care where we debate. We could do it anywhere. And I'll debate anybody anytime.
Wow.
Because you're fair people. You know, they want to do it with unfair people, like David Muir. I call him manure. You look at him. You look at his face. He looks like the heads from the Easter Island Rock. You know, those big rocks. He looks like a tiki. He looks like a tiki guy. I don't know. He looks like a crazy. There was a show a long time ago called Legends of the Hidden Temple. He looks like the rock that used to talk. I don't know if you remember that. Olmec was his name. I knew him very well.
Olmec.
That's what David Muir looks like. He looks like Olmec from Legends of the Hidden Temple. So we want to go with fair people. You're a very fair people. And we would debate with fair people, but we will not debate with unfair people anytime, anywhere, with good people like you people, not with these bad people. Man. These are bad hombres. These are bad people, sick people, and the fake news ought to be ashamed of themselves. So, I have to say that.
So can we say, we can say without a doubt that Mr. Trump, you'll be there in person to do this debate with Kamala Harris?
We will be there.
Oh, wow.
We will never be anywhere else. Ooh, we will be there.
Wow.
We love it.
Huge news.
This is a tremendous opportunity, you know, that everybody wants us to debate. And I will be there. I'll tell you that. We'll be there, and we're going to have a fantastic time, I can tell you. Bring your popcorn. We love popcorn. We love it.
There he is, Sean Fish, a.k.a. Donald J. Trump, joining us for his weekly spot. Great stuff, buddy. Stick around. We're going to get your thoughts on all the stuff that has transpired this week and get your opinion as we continue. 9 o'clock hour rolls on with Farish live from Nashville as we continue here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
And you've heard me talk about Chapman Windows, Doors, and Siding, how much I love the work they've done in my home. You're going to love the work they do in your home. So I'd only trust the Chapman family team with windows, doors, siding. You know that by now. Right now, the perfect time, you know, the perfect time for the month of September right now, Chapman is offering free hardware on a brand new front entry door up to the value of $500. Think about what an updated front door can really change the curb appeal of your home, increase the resale value. Not just that, it's like an instant makeover. So whether you're looking for a single door, double door, or a door with side lights like I have, they have such an experienced project consultant that's going to help you choose that perfect new front door for your home. So if you or somebody you know, you're looking for windows, doors, siding, shutters, all the beautiful hardware choices, they're going to help you with it all. They do it all. Text or call 610-431-8898. That's 610-431-8898. You can take a virtual tour. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. I love looking at those before and afters, whether it's a front door or some of the great projects they do. ChapmanWindowsDoors.com. Make sure you tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day. Day with Kale and Company. Weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.